Hi. Okay, let's jump right into it, Simi. Today's question is not so much a question, more a framework. Say you have a religious person, believes in God, etc., wants to live his life with God. At the same time, they're working on their career. They're working on their livelihood, on their relationships, etc. Now, on the one hand, they're learning about, you know, letting God into your life, and God really controls everything, and basic providence, faith, and fate, and all that. On the other hand, they are still very driven by very normal flow of cause and effect. So how would you answer someone if they would kind of throw that situation at you and say, how do I balance, how do I juggle these two realities?
Okay, so to repeat the idea, we're looking for a framework to balance those two sides. One, the natural worlds, and the other one is accepting the hypothesis. Hypothesis is the right word, but accepting the premise that God is in your life and God takes a part in your life.
This is a person who already accepts and works on the fact that they want God in their life. This isn't a theological examination. This is already taking that into consideration.
For sure, but it's still a premise, meaning a person can live their life with that premise or without that premise. The question is, how does your life change if you accept that premise?
Okay, fine.
So I would answer this in the discussion of what we would call hashkocha, which is providence. There are different approaches. So perhaps I'll put some of the approaches on the table, and then we'll sort of try and integrate a middle ground, if that makes sense.
Okay, go ahead.
So on the one side, you'll have, I'll just name the thinkers if people want a reference point, Maimonides, and there is a certain thing called nature. Nature is a real, like a reality, and God at times will play a part in your life. Meaning, the natural world continues. If you are connected to God, you are connected to God, God will have a hand in your life. That's called hashkacha pratis, individual providence or specific providence. And hashkacha klalis is the existence of the world, the natural world which God created. And if you are disconnected from God, you'll be left to that natural world.
So nature, what God created in the 7 days of creation, etc., is the default program. It's the backup. It's the default.
However you say that actually manifests itself, but if you are disconnected from God, according to these thinkers, you'll be left to almost the randomness of life.
Okay, so in my everyday life, if I just live my life, God might not actually have direct input at any given time in my day.
Not in the specific sense, meaning not in the directed...
He put in the nature, but he's not having direct...
So the way a person would live their life is that it sort of makes sense for different realities we experience, that people can do well, people can do badly, there's a certain randomness to reality. But also, of course, then there's the people who are connected to God, in which case people who have a relationship with God, thereby God sort of reacts to them. God has a part to play in their life. So by way of like a spectrum, let's call it, that'd be one extreme. Mm-hmm. The other extreme by thinkers in the more Kabbalistic persuasion, as well as Reb Dessler, who's quite, I suppose, popular in the Orthodox world today, looks at everything as being an expression of God's will. Not that the other two would disagree with that on principle, but everything is an expression of God's will. There is no nature. There is no cause and effect. There is no randomness. Everything is an expression of God's will, from the lifting of your hand to the tidal wave that's happening down the road. Everything is God.
Okay, so what about nature, like leaves falling in the fall?
Everything, from that point of view, is an expression of God's will.
So I once heard a story that was made into a song of this leaf falling down. And the rabbi asked, why is this leaf falling down? And it was to protect this worm that was... needed protection on the ground, and the Hashem had made this particular leaf fall onto this particular worm. Is that what you're talking about?
So that would be a nice parable to express this idea. It's reminiscent of the work of a Scottish philosopher, David Hume, where he questioned, and it was a revolution in philosophy, where he questioned the very assumptions of causation and sort of described it as, well, cut a huge story short, that the causation that we experience in our lives, that there's no grounding for that. Because one cause follows another, there's no like third principle that makes it happen. He called it like a habit of the mind. We experience things again and again, so we just sort of assume that's the way they go. The sun rises, will rise tomorrow because it rose today. There's nothing essential about it. In a similar kind of way, that's the idea of this furthest end of the spectrum where everything is an expression of God's will.
Well, what do you mean there's no third variable there that makes the sun rise in the morning? No, I know the sun rises in the morning. What do you mean it doesn't have to happen? It's always happened that way.
No, so that's the point. It's always happened that way. And his point is that there's nothing that necessitates it. I mean, it's more complicated, but his point is that there's nothing that necessitates one cause, an effect to follow a cause.
So he's basically questioning cause and effect. He's questioning anything from gravity to anything.
It's skepticism, but the reason why it's interestingly similar to the...
No, I understand why it's similar, because Hume is questioning anything, any cause and effect, and saying, well, how do you know it's cause and effect? Maybe you're just used to it. Fine, I get that. And you're saying the concept of nature might just be an illusion, and really God is pushing every single thing and doing every single thing.
Correct.
Okay, fine. So let me see if I understand this correctly. On the one side of the vast spectrum of hashgacha, or providence, is God will only interfere in specific circumstances, splitting of the sea, a very righteous person, and so on. Usually the default system is nature, and that will run its course. The other side is no, there is no such thing as nature. It's God clothed in the rules that we are used to, but it's really God at every point in time, his consciousness into every single person.
Right. So to work a middle ground, and I'll connect it to this week's parasha. This week's parasha, we have the story of the mon.
The manna falling from heaven in the desert.
Right. And if we use that as a bit of a paradigm to how we can approach the world and our relationship with God, we spoke about two extremes. There are thinkers that take a more middle ground to this question, specifically Reb Sadia Gaon. The idea that nature and God's input are both switches that need to be closed to allow reality to take place.
Using a circuit, of course, being an electrician.
Correct, obviously. So let's play it out with the mon. The mon was that God provided for the Jewish people some sort of heavenly, miraculous food, but they had to go out and get it. The notion of hishtadlut, which is an effort man has to play, and hashkocha, the part God plays, really plays itself out, I'm using the word play way too many times, but really plays itself out in this story of the mon. It's a description of how man is supposed to approach the world. He does his part, and God does his part.
So the mon is symbolic of God's input in our lives, and us having to go out and get the mon is symbolic of what you call the hishtadlut, the natural processes of you having to do your best in the world. Is that right?
Right, but it becomes universal. This is a picture of how humanity go and get their bread, go achieve things in the world. They do their part, meaning you work within the framework of nature. If you don't, for example, let me play it this way. If you didn't go out to get the mon, you would go hungry. It wouldn't go into your belly.
No matter how miraculous the mon is, you still have to go and get it.
Exactly. In which case, you have a system of a double switch. The switch of man having to go out, but also in extreme, obviously, because this is a narrative which is supposed to be a pattern for, I suppose, generations or history. God is the one who provides. So in a very practical sense, and then tell me what you think, in a very practical sense, what is it saying here is that man has to do his part. But the result, you can't force the result. That also takes away a huge amount of anxiety that's associated with the responsibility of acting in the world. Man does his part, and God does his part. Man works within nature, but then the result comes because of God's input.
So when you said a two switch, you mean a circuit and both switches have to be down for the electricity to go through. One of them is going and getting the mon. And if you don't go and get the mon, you will go hungry, because no matter how much God is trying to give you mon, you're not going and getting it. Just like in our world, we have to go out and provide for ourselves in a relatively normal way. Otherwise, no matter how much Hashem wants to give us food, he won't. It's not going to happen. And on the other hand, God has to still want you to have that food. God still has to provide it for you. So here the manna still had to fall. You can go out hunting in the desert all you like. You're not going to find anything if the manna isn't there. So too, if God, for whatever reason, doesn't want you to have that job or doesn't want you to find that relationship, no matter how much you go out and do it, it's not going to happen. Both of the things need to be in place.
Right.
Okay, so I like this mashal with the mon, but how is this the middle way between all nature or all God? Like the first two examples you gave was, I have to work in nature, and I have to work in nature just regularly, normally, and sometimes God will have his input. The other one was God has every little thing is up to God and he is controlling everything. So now how is the mon in between those two?
I suppose you could say the mon is in between because it makes nature a real thing, meaning there's no delusion here, illusion here. There's no smokes and mirrors. Nature is real. God created a reality that we have to work within, but it makes God present in your life. The other two perhaps give you a arbitrary, cold reality. The first extreme, because reality seems to be, of course they think it's obviously created by God, but God seems to be a bit distant in the first example. And in the second example, everything being an expression of God, once again also kind of makes you into
You're distant then.
I find, and of course we haven't got the stage here to go into each one of these details, and someone who's a supporter of one of these views obviously will be able to do a more beautiful job than I've given it over in the part in 2 minutes. But I think this middle ground, as its basis being in the mon, the narrative in the Torah, makes God present, but makes your work actually meaningful. It's not like your work is meaningless. No, your work is a necessary component. It's a responsibility that you have to live out.
So, okay, right, very cool. So me working is a responsibility, and at the same time, the result isn't my responsibility. The result is from God.
Which sort of makes anxiety not so present. The advantage of the religious life is, I mean, it comes with certain costs, but it comes with advantages that if you take the premise that God is in your life, then you recognize the result is up to him.
So you still have responsibility, but it doesn't turn into a massive burden. Okay, so to recap, go ahead.
Two extremes in how a person can approach providence and responsibility. On the one side, you have nature being a thing and God connected to those who are connected to him. Depending on how you frame this, it's debated amongst the commentaries, but that's one general approach. Another extreme approach, but one approach on the other side of the spectrum is everything's just an expression of God's will, from the cat in front of us right now to the coffee I drank 20 minutes ago. Everything is just God. That, as well as Talmud Torah, everything is just an expression of God's will. How a person as an individual fits into that is obviously going to be a question, but they both give you a bit of a cold reality you're living in. Once again, someone who's a supporter of these views will give over them in a more beautiful and refined way, but the advantage of the middle ground, which is given its best expression by Reb Sadia Gaon or Reb Yosef Albo, and I think given over by Rav Shamsha Rafal Hirsch in this week's parasha, is the idea of the mon being a balance between you having a responsibility and God playing his part. And that's given over by the story of the mon.
Okay, very cool. Thank you.
All right, have a wonderful week, everyone.
Have a great week.